Welcome to the new season of the Dreams Portal, the podcast about dreams, dream interpretation, astral traveling, and lucid dreaming. Join your hosts, Ileana, Helen, and Abby, to talk about the meaning of your dreams. Hello, everybody. Thank you for your support in this season. Today, we'll have the season finale of season two in the Dreams Portal podcast. And because we're recording this the day of the eclipse in Libra, I wanted to have this conversation with my dear friend and co-host, Abby Salinas, because as you know, she is an astrologer, 40 years in that modality. And my big question about these eclipses, because we have 2 days in Libra and 2 weeks from now, we'll have the moon eclipse in Taurus.
Yes, exactly.
So in between today and 2 weeks from now, what is going to happen to our energies? And not from the standpoint of talking about it like we have seen all of us who follow psychics or astrologers in our day-to-day, the house of the zodiac, which I'm completely clueless about. I can't do astrology, so that's why here my friend Abby will walk us through it. But what happens? What happens when we go offline and our unconscious takes over? Because it's all about energy. That energy right there is getting bombarded, in the absence of a better term. And we are not talking about it or trying to work with it. We are offline.
Okay, well, let's first start with what is the solar eclipse and what is the lunar? Just a little cliff note so you have an idea. Think of the word eclipse and think, let's start with solar, okay? When we're experiencing a solar eclipse, it's when the moon is passing between the earth and the sun. This is not, it's only partial. So it's going to partially cover the disk of the sun. Sun is so big, it's not going to be covered, right? Think of the word eclipse. It brings a shadow, it brings a darkness. And this eclipse in particular is involved with the solar, the south node, which is all about our past life, the things from our past in this lifetime and in others coming through. So it's going to kick up a lot of trauma, a lot of things that we tried to keep hidden or ignored. A lot of people tend to think if I ignore it or don't think about it, I've dealt with it. No, it doesn't work like that. It becomes a layer and a layer and a layer until something like the solar eclipse comes through with the south node and it breaks through those barriers. So a lot of things in our past, trauma issues we've been trying to work with, it is going to be it's going to shake up a lot of people. Okay. So it's going to eclipse our life. It's going to eclipse the things we're working on and have been working on, thinking that we have a goal in mind and we're going to, you know, this is the path to our success. It's going to eclipse those things. And if they're not on strong legs or not for our highest good, it's going to shake it up and break it down. This is when people blow up their lives on purpose. You know, if you're thinking I'm having an affair, because I'm bored or this or that, something menial, the result of that can be something you did not expect where you end up blowing up your life.
So magnify everything.
Oh, way, very much so.
And so that's what they say, that this is like an energy of a branding iron.
It is.
Leaving a mark.
And it started, okay, the first one is today. In central time, it was 1:15. In eastern time, 2 o'clock, something like that, 2:05. And in other parts of the world, obviously, look at your timestamp. But this is the energy of this has been happening for 3 or 4 weeks already. The ramping up. That's why people are having trouble sleeping or not sticking with their sleep schedule, right? And from this point, and it lasts a good year and a half.
Oh,
The
wow.
energy of this eclipse will affect you for about a year to a year and a half. Now, the one that happens, the lunar one that happens on the 28th, that one is more, this one is more about sacrifices, letting go by force, loss, a lot of losses. The one that comes on the 28th is a lunar one. And that one is when the moon passes through the Earth's shadow. Now, interestingly enough, there are 13 full moons in 2023. I think there were 13 full moons, only two eclipses, and neither one of them was in a full moon. You'll never fully cover the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the partialness, right? But again, it's eclipsing what you're working on. It's making you focus on the darker shadow parts of ourselves and the things we're working on. So that's what an eclipse does, all right? So your question is, what do we do when we're, how does this affect us when we're astral projecting? How does this affect us when we're doing lucid dreaming?
Yes.
Well, during the time of a full moon, a lot of people struggle with sleeping, nightmares. Our dreams are not, our dreams are working through our anxieties. They're meant to be there for problem solving. And so now you have all these things that you're going through with the moon, right? It's kicking up all your emotions, all your frustrations, all your anxiety. And now you're going to lucid dream. Whether you do it on purpose or not, you're going to be taking that energy with you. So your dreams may be coming through as more of a stress, whereas before it would be something, oh, I know I'm dreaming. I know this isn't real, you know, so I can manipulate things. If things become stressful for me in a dream, I know I'm lucid dreaming in that state. So I can change my behavior, or I can bring things to me in order to change things in my dream. Well, if I'm not getting enough rest, or if I'm worried during my awakened state, and now I'm bringing that into lucid dreaming, can you see how you're not working at the best state in your lucid dreaming?
So what you say suggests losing control or the awareness of the lucid dreaming experience.
You may still be aware, but you may, the control is the thing right there.
Oh.
And not all lucid dreaming is done with your conscious state of, I'm going to go and before I fall asleep, because it's part of the REM process, I'm going to go into a lucid state, right? Mm-hmm. You can do that. But there's so many people out there who go into their lucid dreaming not knowing that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And here they go through their nightmares and things like that, and they're not aware that they can change things.
What about your routines? Like, if I have a specific routine to go into that lucid dreaming with whatever intention, and I'm finding out that that is kind of broken, that is, it's like that car that normally starts in the morning and off you go, and in that day you couldn't get the car to start.
Mm-hmm.
So is this part of that energy, that interference or noise?
Well, you got to remember, this is not a one size fits all. You know, everybody is at different levels of their expertise with that. But if you're running into that where your intention is to go into your lucid dreaming and you're not getting there, it's not a one size fits all. When somebody is, what would work for me may not work for you. My suggestion is, if your intention is to go into lucid dreaming and you're having a hard time ramping in, take that as an awareness that maybe that's not what you should be doing. I know a lot of people who are dream masters, and they will not astral project or intentionally go into lucid dreaming during an eclipse.
Oh, really?
Well, think of it. The eclipses, you're going to be working through trauma. You're going to be working through issues, right? In your subconscious state, this is where they first start being unearthed, right? They're being revealed first subconsciously, working its way up to your consciousness so you can deal with it. If you have mother issues and now you're going into a lucid dream and your mother is showing up in your dream, or if a memory of your childhood of abuse shows up, you know, and I think that's more of a reason why some of my friends don't do those things.
Oh,
but think of this. This is just because we're in the modern times of knowing there's an eclipse. Beware of this. Beware of that. I mean, 60, 70 years ago, people did not even give it a thought. But yeah, now it's so mainstream, you know. But I think that with the eclipses, there's something biological that happens. We've always heard about things with the moon, right? But on a biological level, if you're not getting good sleep and not sleeping till 8 o'clock in the morning, you're waking up at 3:30 in the morning, it's going to disturb your rest. You know, it's going to cause extra stresses on you physically. So as far as lucid dreaming and astral projection, it's really not something I personally think of to do during that time, but not necessarily because it's an eclipse. My body just feels it. It's not something I do all the time.
Okay.
But I gave it thought because of this podcast, and it's like, just go with what intuitively feels is directing you.
Wow. So no experiments during this time.
I would say, I'm not called to do it. And I think that's a stronger thing. Like, you can't really make like a blanket statement. You go into these communities where people are astral projecting or lucid dreaming, and some will do it, some will not, you know. It's just how you are, you know. It's a personal thing, you know. But with, there's a lot of neuroscientists who've done a lot of, I don't want to say experiments, but done a lot of research on lucid dreamings and stuff like that. And they'll do things where some people will do things when they go into lucid dreaming. They'll set a clock to wake themselves up in 5 hours because they've already gone through the hour of REM, right? Every 10 minutes, you go into a deeper state of REM. So that first hour, then your alarm goes off to wake you up. So you'll remember your dream. Now you're going to try and fall back asleep. Can you just see how that's unnatural to me to do that to yourself and then wake up feeling good?
Wow. And another layer to add to what is going on is we're in the time of the year where the veil is thinning.
Yes. Well, yes and no. I think that as we've entered the beginning part, the dawn of the age of Aquarius, it's been thinning. So every month, isn't this what everybody hears with a moon practice of moon rich? The veil is thinning. Let me tell you here and now, the veil is thin. It's already thin. It's not thinning anymore. It can't get any more thinner unless you step into the other side. It is thin. Put a period there. Here's our opportunity to work with that other side, you know, to be aware. If we are thinking, oh, it's thinning, I need to do this work right now, or I can do these practices right now, it is thin, not thinning. It is thin. It has just been waiting for us to independently experience those things, learn about them, practice them, if that is in our awareness to want to do so. You know, but it's always been thin.
Always as in when we wake up to this awareness, or always because of the times we're living, the acceleration, the raising of the frequency in the collective conscious?
Yes, but that's been since like the 80s.
The
dawning of the age of Aquarius is 60s. We still, because that's every 2,000 years. So we're still not there. We're in the dawn of it. But it is still, as our consciousness, and as you mentioned, our frequency and our interest in learning So it's always been there. It's just a matter of us having the interest to step in. So if you wake up and you're not giving it any thought, you're not losing anything. And it's not going to, the veil isn't going to thin when you decide to spend time working and or learning it. It is just there, there for you to do when you're ready to do it. You know, when you're in the connective mode of connecting to that part.
So it's a matter of making the decision of piercing it.
Not even good. Piercing it. It's because it makes you feel like it's an effort to pierce. It merely is, it's like you know how some people have curtains on their closet doors instead of a door? That's all you're doing. You're just separating the curtain as
unveiling.
You walk into your, that's all it is. There's no piercing. There's no hard work. It's always been there, just waiting for us to line up with the energy of frequency to step in. You know, it's just been, especially during the 70s, it's been made to be such an occult thing to do, you know, and now it's like, okay, lunar rituals. I'm not a ritual person, but I respect those people who do it because obviously they're setting their intention.
Yes.
They are very focused on setting the intention, and I can respect that, you know. But if you're not doing rituals, it doesn't mean it's not working. All you have to do is set your intention.
Yes, there's no such a thing as missing opportunities.
Exactly, exactly. And another thing is there's no such a thing, like I've been doing this for decades, literally decades, right? So somebody who's just starting to learn it can get very frustrated if they're starting later in life and saying, well, I don't have a whole lifetime of this. Well, you may not have the decades I had, but from the moment you start, you're opening your world up and you're learning. You're learning this. It's not like in 20 years, all of a sudden a light bulb comes on and you know what? You know a lot, right? Mm-hmm. All along the way, you're learning and you're expanding. And even though I've been doing this for so long, how many things do you think I had to unlearn in order to make room for the more modern way of understanding that wasn't available to me in the 70s, right?
Yes.
Because things change.
Yes, this definitely the terms, the ritualistic part.
Yes, the
it's a very
tension.
Yeah, very important. The empowerment more than anything, because even 10 years ago, learning about this, it was always that figure that needed to be there, not quite called a priest, but somebody that will appear superior to you. And there was some kind of belief to stay attached to that person because it had the that person, she or he had the advantage in
and all your answers
and all the answers. And now we learned that it was a moment in time, and then you grow to another, into another thing, in find another mentor, because it's that stop on the journey.
Right. Today we have mentors and teachers and coaches, you know, whereas before it was more of a controlled learning that was given to us, parceled out to us, right? And then the other thing here is with these eclipses, there's going to be a lot more physical issues coming to people, because as we purge these layers of trauma or levels of stress, it's going to come out, the toxics are going to come out in our body. So if you've had a little bit of back problems, you're going to probably, you may have a lot. You may start noticing you have more issues with your shoulders, because it's going to be finally made to your awareness how much you are shouldering as you move forward. How many more knee operations are being done? You know, there's so much of that that's going to come out physically during these two eclipses. And it's going to last a while because we need to purge our body of these toxins in order to move forward. And so this brings us again to those who turn to psychics, life coaches, all of that. Back in the 70s and 80s, we would go to a psychic, tell me, give me the answer. When is this job? When is this partner? When am I going to get a raise? The metaphysical leaders of today are facilitators.
Yes.
We are not there to tell you, you know, you're going to get this new job in 2 weeks when you have this. We can give you some of that info, but what's more important is, are you in alignment
yes.
with that job? Are you in alignment with the partner that you feel that you want?
Yes.
You want someone who is fiscally responsible, emotionally mature, you know, who knows how to be a partner. Well, are you bringing those things to the table? You know, you're asking for this, but you're asking for more money, but are you financially responsible? Will more money really make you happier? You know, you think it will until you find yourself instead of 20,000 in debt, now you're 40,000 in debt.
Yes.
Right? So these eclipses and these lucid dreamings and dream states are all going to work together because it's during our lucid dreaming state that we are troubleshooting, problem solving, mm-hmm. and doing all these things. So during the eclipses, what anxieties are we going to be bringing to those dream states? You know, what are we going to be working through symbolically? And can we pick up the symbolisms?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And what kind of information can we retrieve to make us smarter moving forward?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So in these 2 weeks, starting from today until the next eclipse, what are going to be the biggest hitters here in terms of the signs that are going to be affected and the areas that are going to be more affected in one way or the other, positive or negative? It's just that I'm still processing this branding iron kind of force. And what you said at the beginning, that this is going to magnify everything.
And right. And there's going to be, and for your audience, there's a lot of astrologers out there that you can get into in depth, to find out what your sun sign, your moon sign, your rising sign, how you're going to be affected. You should really look those up and what those are for yourself. The most important is your rising sign. A lot of people think it's their sun sign. That is the most important. It's your rising sign, because that's the you who you bring out to the public. That's the you, the face that you show the outside world, you know? So that is what you lead with. So it would be the rising sign, the sun sign, the moon sign. Those are the three things you would look up in any time you're looking up anything with astrology. So there are going to be some signs like Aries where it's their public face, you know. What are they rebranding themselves? For some people, it's an easy thing to do. You know, I'm going to change careers, or now I'm going to do this, you know, to up level in my career. So some people can take that in stride and expand who they are. But if you're making a complete shift in your career and you've done the same thing for 20 years, and now you have to figure out how to be a different part of your personality and lead with that, that may not be so easy, okay? So you may be put in situations where you're going to have to really strengthen those skill sets. And then there are some of the signs, like I would say Scorpio, Pisces, and Libra are the ones that are going to be mostly affected by these eclipses. Libra is going to be affected a lot by, again, their who they are, their own self, and depending on the house that it affects them for their moon sign and their ascendant, all of that, put it together, you know, find those signs, find those houses and put it together and watch and see how those things are going to unfold, you know. Pisces is going to be affected a lot with especially childhood traumas and things from their past. Pisces is known for being very dreamlike, you know, and avoiding and not seeing. They see things through a very different lens. And so when they're going to be hit by things that they were looking their whole lives one way, and now they're going to look at it a different way, it's almost like an existential crisis.
Wow.
Is something like that. I think those three signs are going to have to really take stock. Scorpio, for instance, is not used to really expressing what they feel, and anything that is heavy, they keep to themselves and feel that's their way of dealing with things. So if you keep doing that over 20, 30, 40 years, layer upon layer upon layer, you don't even realize that when someone gives you an apology, that you're not accepting it. You're saying, oh, that's okay. Well, what does that really do for the child in you or the young adult in you who should have been given apologies after a long hardship in your early life? That here you are in your 50s, not able to even accept an apology by saying something like, thank you for that. Thank you for acknowledging that. I appreciate it. No, chances are they're going to say something more along the line of, that's okay, because they're used to brushing it off. You know, all these little things that as we get older, we just don't have time for as we were aging.
Yeah.
I think some of these layers are more serious for some people than others, and they're going to be faced with looking at these things. I know I jumped around with the different signs, but our focus here today was lucid dreaming and astral projection and how that works. But in particular, those signs, when they're going into their dream state, I think their dreams are going to really try and speak to them about some of these core issues. And hopefully they'll pick up the symbolisms of what their dreams mean and what they're trying to tell them.
Yeah, I have incredibly close people to me in the Scorpio signs, a sister and a friend since college. And for the birthday of my friend, I sent her a journal. And I said, open your presence, because she's the kind of person that waits for that day. And I'm like, no, you have plenty of a presence in that box. Open this one, because at that moment, I knew that the energies were going to start ramping up for today. And I told her, I need you to start writing every day. Take 2 to 5 minutes to center yourself and write the first thing that comes to mind. So just to try to get her engaged in the energy ramping up to today and her birthday, which is next weekend. So that was the most important present from me to her, is to get her in this practice, just to tune in. Because, and this is something that I've been curious about, being this kind of eclipse so magnifying, and being too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was curious to know, for people that started in their spiritual path, and at some point they, for life reasons, whatever, busy, life happens, you know, kids, career, and they pull away and sort of lost their abilities, and now they're completely blind, psychically talking. I was kind of hoping that this energy will be like a jump start for that.
It can be. It can also be a blowing down of the doors. It's not a gentle energy coming through. Look at how it's not only individually, this is global.
Yes.
This is global. We're already seeing it in the news. We're already seeing it just in our country alone.
Yes.
Our news, our politics,
yes,
how people are talking to each other in in command are politics. Okay, they are not, they do not seem to be embarrassed or
have a sense of decorum.
Exactly. All professionalism is out the window. People are angry. And it's, I mean, name calling, really? You're name calling, it's very childish. So yeah. We're seeing it in our country.
Energy
and in
of
other
chaos.
Countries, look at the
disrupting.
War. Yes. So this is global. This is not one of those easy eclipses that is coming through and just making you cry over a past lover or something like that. No, this is going to make us all look at ourselves. Look at ourselves and look at what we've really, and connecting with ourselves. Can't connect to the through the veil, to our loved ones that are departed, to our missed, you know, you got to look at yourself.
So to kind of recap, we know these energies are going to be intense. Mm-hmm. We know what these energies are targeting. How can we make the most of this to take advantage of this energetic storm and do a transformation, a real transformation?
I think what I recommend for people is be an observer. Take the emotion out of it, because you're going to exhaust yourself with every emotional thing that comes through. If you're having a hard time at work with a boss, be an observer of yourself, because we create our reality. Why would you create this work environment, this relationship with your boss, with your children? You created that relationship. You created the exchange between you in order for you to expand, for you to understand something at a deeper level. So be that observer that can see from a higher perspective and not take every single thing personal. You know, look at how you contributed to that. That's the first thing. And really, that's the forefront of everything.
Yeah. What is my role in this?
What is my role? Yes.
What is my role and how I'm going to shift this?
And where do you spend the most time during the day? For most people, it's at work. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have those exchanges with your relationships with people at work, you know, and along the way, driving to work. You
oh
know,
my God. Talking about
rage,
driving.
Whatever.
I've seen this week all kinds of accidents that I've been driving by.
Yes.
One even outside my subdivision, that light right there outside my subdivision. How did this happen?
Yes. Yes. I just drove past one yesterday where I was going to a friend's house for dinner. And I drove past one where I never thought there would be an accident. And then she texted and said, I'm going to be late because there's an accident on the highway. And so, you know what? But isn't that, haven't we been hearing forever, whenever there's a full moon or an issue with the moon, emergency rooms?
Yes.
Get crazy.
True.
People get arrested like crazy, you know? So, I mean, it's tied into emotions, you know?
Yeah.
People have a less level of letting things get, you know, letting things go, take more things on a personal level.
Short fuse.
So, yeah, short fuse. So, yeah, definitely be aware of your fuse. Be aware of your own temperament and then try and live life more as the observer to yourself and with self-awareness. And I think you'll be fine, you know?
Yeah, and look for things that are uplifting. I'm not necessarily going to say in this episode things that are spiritual, just things that brings you joy. If it's pets, if it's that show, if it's planning a Halloween party.
Yeah, anything that brings you, exactly, that brings you joy, because it's those moments, you know. Halloween party may be a little stressful to plan out, but
depends on how important is Halloween to you.
But
there's another thing with the Halloween parties, and I don't want to digress, is that you might be picking up some things or inviting some things of practice good hygiene, energy,
spiritual
hygiene.
Hygiene. Exactly. Those people who are celebrating the Day of the Dead, clear everything after the party.
Yeah, it's not a come move with us. You know, you can visit, but then go
Can't
back.
Stay here. Yes.
Yeah. Abby, thank you so much for this conversation and the cliff notes on the eclipse and the astrology and that very down-to-earth basic explanation of what to expect, as well as the things that we can do to make the most of these energies. Thank you. All of you have supported the second season of the Dreams Portal podcast. We'll be back next year. And until then, sweet dreams.